Hello again, welcome to the program. We're here in this series with God's Church Manual, looking at 1 and 2 Timothy, where we read that Paul wrote to the young pastor there at Ephesus, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That word house has been translated household, and actually it's not referring to bricks and mortar, it's referring to people. It's referring to the assembly. That assembly might have a building and it might meet under a tree, but if it's organized the way the Bible says to organize it in this portion of Scripture, in 1 and 2 Timothy, then it's a local church. We need to be very careful not to assume we have a church because we are meeting in our living room and it's not organized according to God's church manual. Sometimes we need to do that. There's no church to go to and there's no pastor and faithful people of God today with all the apostasy have to do something. And so it may be that may be necessary, but that is not a church. A church is organized. It has people, obviously. It has a place. Again, might be a building, might be under a tree, but they're an assembly. And it has a pastor, and that's very important. Well, we're going to look at the first 8 verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2 today. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Now he starts on this portion of Scripture in verse 1 and again in verse 8, focusing on the subject of prayer. We're going to look at that today. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. We need to pray, and we need to ask the Lord when we pray to teach us. Let's be teachable. Sing along with this message and song.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. And free, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I in
thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast.
We see here in verse number one, the first focus that we have here is the subject of prayer. It's interesting, David, the man after God's own heart, when he prayed, he said, "Teach me," Psalm 25:4. 25:5, he said it again, "Teach me." In Psalm 27:11, his prayer was, "Teach me." 86:11, "Teach me." Psalm 119, verse 12, "Teach me." Verse 33, "Teach me." 119:64, "Teach me." 66, "Teach me." 68, "Teach me." Psalm 119, verse 108, "Teach me." 124, "Teach me." 135 of Psalm 119, "Teach me." And then Psalm 43, verse 10, he said it again, "Teach me." He wanted the Lord to teach him. He was a man after God's own heart. He didn't think he knew it all. Every time he prayed pretty well, he said, "Lord, teach me." He also said, "Lead me," Psalm 5, verse 8, and then again in 25 and 5, Psalm 27, 11, "Teach me," or should be, "Lead me." Psalm 31, 3, "Lead me, lead me, lead me," over and over again, as you see in these verses that I'm putting on the screen here. "Teach me." Then he said, "Instruct me." Psalm 16, verse 7, "Instruct me." "Show me," he said. Psalm 16, verse number 11. Psalm 25, 4, "Show me." Psalm 86, 17, he prayed, "Show me." He prayed, "Guide me," in Psalm 31, verse number 3. And then again in 73 and 24, he said, "Guide me." He said, "Make me to understand," Psalm 119, verse 27. Then in verse 35 of that chapter, "Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments," he said in Psalm 119:34, "Give me understanding." 119:73, "Give me understanding." Verse 125, "Give me understanding." And again in that chapter, verse 144, "Give me understanding." And then Psalm 119, "Give me understanding," in verse 169, "Give me understanding." Now we read, it says here, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now as we look in Jeremiah, we read, "And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction." We need to listen to God and receive instruction. Proverbs 5:13, we have the testimony of Solomon. He said, "He had not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instruct me." Once again, this is the testimony of Solomon. Solomon said, "How dieth a wise man? As a fool." Why? Because he did not obey the voice of his teachers. He got involved in his environment as a king. He did not incline his ear to them that were instructing him. He just felt like he knew it all, and he said, "How dieth the wise man? As the fool." So the first thing we see here is supplication. That's simply making request. The local church, and that's our context here, will have many requests to solve problems that only God can solve. to do anything in the power of the flesh will usually do more harm than good. Then we have prayers. This actually means worship, the act of worship that should accompany all our prayers. Do we pray with our own needs in mind rather than taking time to worship the Lord? Then third, we have intercession, which is simply the needs of others. We have seen that there were some real troublemakers in the local church at Ephesus. Those people had some needs. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3? If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. They have needs. We should be praying for them sincerely. If we do have a church discipline situation, that's not something we do to somebody. It's something we do for them. And then number four, giving of thanks. Again, there was some real troublemakers in the local church at Ephesus. Those people had some needs, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It doesn't say for everything. I'm glad for that. It says in everything give thanks. There's some reason for everything that's going on. We need to give thanks for the situations we find ourselves so that we might glorify the Lord in that situation. And so it says, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. God's word is plain concerning his structure of authority in the home, the church, the government, and on the job. We are to pray for all that are in authority, all four of those areas. Since we are commanded to pray for all that are in authority, there is no authority on earth that cannot be influenced by prayer. When we think of authority, we usually think of government authority. However, this verse includes all who are in authority. Now, I say pray for kings and for all that are in authority, and it focuses particularly on kings. And so, those kings, did Caesar get saved because Paul prayed for him? Well, we have the little phrase, prayer changes things sometimes, but all the time, prayer changes me. And one of the main reasons to pray is it gets us in a right spirit. Now, it says here that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who will have? That sounds like, oh, God means everybody's going to get saved. That phrase will have has been translated desire. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says in verse 5, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all," it says, "whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. If I will, therefore," he said, "that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." In Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." He would have all men to be saved. Now he says, I'm telling you the truth. The truth is foundational to all scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:4, the knowledge of the truth. 2:7, I speak the truth. 3:15, the ground of the truth. And then 4 and 3, know the truth. And then in 6 and 5, there's those who are destitute of the truth. Now, the phrase the truth occurs in the Bible 87 times. The phrase the truths, plural, occurs 0 times. There's not two truths. There's one truth. All truth occurs in the Bible one time. It's found in John 16, verse number 13, when Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And so if we would simply pray as we look at some of the issues of the day and say, "Lord, I want the truth." Now, if you're going to pray sincerely for the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, we may have to change our mind on some of these issues. Maybe we got it wrong. There's a lot of good people going different directions saying, "Oh, this is the truth about music. Oh, this is the truth about this issue. This is the truth about that issue." The Bible says the Spirit of truth, when he has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Now in verse 5 he says, "There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." For all. Calvin said, "We call predestination God's eternal decree, by which he compacted with himself what he willed to become of each man. For all are not created equal, in equal condition. Rather, eternal life is foreordained for some, eternal damnation for others." Now, that is a heresy from hell. Paul said, "Though we or an angel preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed." And that word, as said before, doesn't mean to go to hell. It means to be exposed. God says in his word that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Calvin says that it was only for some. Now, you figure out who you're going to believe. You're going to believe the Lord? You're going to believe Calvin? The Bible says he gave himself a ransom for all. Calvin says for some. Figure it out. And so he says here, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Now, in the local church, issues can stir up a spirit of contention. But Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Not the issue that causes the contention, it's the pride. It is a waste of time to cuddle our pride while we study the Bible or while we pray. The Bible says we are to humble ourselves and pray. Humble ourselves first and then pray. A close study of the Greek word doubting here will show that the word refers to human reasoning and opinions. It's a waste of time to pray with a contentious spirit based on our opinions. The truth, that phrase is found 82 times in the Word of God, 10 of which are found in 1 and 2 Timothy, God's church manual. So he talks about lifting up the hands while praying. That was a common thing to do in Paul's day. Moses said, I was spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. The Bible says Solomon spread forth his hands toward heaven. David said, "Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hand toward thy holy oracle." The emphasis is not on lifting up the hands. The emphasis is on holiness. Psalm 66:18 plainly says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So once again, we've looked at a lot of places here where it says, "Teach me." Notice how many times it says, "Teach me," in this hymn. Once again, let's make it our sincere, honest prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whate'er seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart. Dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part. Savior, from thee. Teach me teach me as seemeth best. In thee to find a sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to